Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church.
And it is good to have you join us on this. Are you hot?
Yes.
My goodness. It's good to have you join us on this holiday weekend, this Labor Day weekend. I had the opportunity to go downstairs before worship as Jonathan and Lindsay were working on the songs. And Lindsay will tell you that I kind of helped give her some pointers on a few of those. I did, didn't I? I was singing along with you, wasn't I? And was it helpful? Patty doesn't match me today. I don't know what her problem is, but she didn't wear the right color. She's wearing pink, but she is sitting next to her best woman from our wedding. Oh, no, she's not. Alex is in between. So anyway, hi Denise, it's Wendam. Our friends from Boston are here. Marissa's going to Eastern College starting as a freshman, so it's great to have you here with us this morning. Labor Day, who knows what Labor Day is about? Do you pay attention to Labor Day at all? What's it about? It's the last weekend of the summer, right? It's before school a lot of times, so I guess not so much anymore. But what is Labor Day about? Working, something about working, labor. So, you know, it really started to celebrate the workers in our country that were making the country great with all the different industries they were involved in, the different unions that were participating there. So they came together with this day and they wanted to celebrate those who were helping to make this country great and strong. And so that's what Labor Day was originally all about. We're going to focus on the labor of Paul this morning. Not labor like Patty has to deal with every day that she goes to work. In fact, Addison was due on Labor Day 22 years ago, and he came 10 days later, but he was due on Labor Day, wasn't he? But we're talking about a different kind of labor here, the kind of work and ministry, the work that we are called to. And so we're going to focus on what Paul did, but before we get there, we need to hear, before we get to this account in Scripture, we need to hear a little bit about what Paul was doing. So Paul, in the book of Acts, and we're going to turn to this beautiful story of Lydia in just a moment here, but Paul in the book of Acts wanted to go to Asia. So if you're picturing Asia, it was off in the sea to the east. But Scripture tells us that God spoke very specifically through the Spirit of God to Paul and said, "You cannot go to Asia. That's not where I want you to go." And so this journey takes him in the complete opposite direction, towards, instead of what would have been known today as Turkey, more towards what is known today as Greece. So he went in a completely different direction. He didn't want to go there. He didn't have plans to go there. But God's Spirit led him. We learn that as he landed, he and his companions then traveled inland to the city of Philippi. Philippi is an interesting place for a Jewish Christian man to be called. The city of Philippi, it was illegal at this point to bring any religion that was not recognized at that time. It certainly was jail, but it could cause death also, as the penalty if you brought a new religion to Philippi. Philippi was a place where it was kind of created by a lot of soldiers, Roman soldiers, when they retired. It was kind of like the place to go, kind of like West Palm Beach for a lot of people on the East Coast. So when you retire, it was this place that everybody would kind of naturally go to. So illegal for a new religion, filled with a lot of soldiers that were there. There was not even, as a Jewish man, he often went into the cities and went directly to the synagogue to speak and tell them about this God who reached out with love through Jesus. There wasn't a synagogue in Philippi. You had to have eight men, in a city to start a synagogue. There wasn't even that many Jewish people to start a synagogue in this city. It's a dangerous place for him to go. But he listened and he went. It reminded me in my youth days when I heard in
And Carly's over there. She knows about this also. There were two hunters from Montana, and their names were Jed and Sam. And there was a season, right? Was it in Montana, Carly? Is that right? In Montana there, that they had too many wolves running around, and they realized they needed to bring the number of wolves down a bit. So the government offered $5,000 per wolf to go out and go hunting. So these two guys, and old Montana guys, they'd been around for a long time, they decided to go out together and hunt for wolf, and they went tracking and they did all kinds of things, and they were out for days and days and didn't get anything. And the story is told about them that one night, you know, they were sleeping out under the stars, as they did every night, and they had a campfire that was there, and Jed woke up, and when he woke up, he looked around the campfire, and he saw beady eyes of wolves, two by two by two, surrounding all around them, glowing in the campfire. In fact, some of them were snarling enough that he said he could see the whites of their teeth kind of glowing in the fire there. And they were in the position to pounce. So you know how scary that must have been. And Jed woke up Sam and he said, Sam, wake up. We're going to be rich. Oh, you got it. So, right? I mean, this is really, that's silly, but it's kind of the attitude of Paul. He was going into this very dangerous situation. But instead of, you know, screaming at all those eyes and the snarling teeth, he thought of the positive thing. Oh, we've got a lot of work to do here. And so he goes into that place, into Philippi, with that kind of attitude. So know that laboring Paul is the one who's moving forward as we turn to Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 11. And I'm not supposed to say this as a pastor, but one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It does so much in this simple story. We set sail for Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer of purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come. Come and stay in my home." And she prevailed upon us. And this is God's word to us this day. It's a powerful, powerful story. But you might just read it and go, you know, okay. But pay attention to that silly story of the wolves and remember the danger that Paul was in when he traveled to this place, and he would have known that. Pay attention to the culture of this time also, where rabbis were known to say, it is better to burn the law. It is better to burn the words of God than to share them or teach women. Did you hear that? Better to burn the law, the words of God, than to share them with women. That was a part of the culture of that time. That was part of what rabbis taught. But here we have Paul going into this dangerous situation, laboring for the Lord, traveling into this city and knowing that there's not a synagogue there, knowing that a place of prayer that was common, particularly for women, was down by a place of water. You've heard me use this image before, a number of you, I'm sure, but I love that image of going down to the river to pray. The Hebrew people believed that as you went to water to pray, that your prayers were reflected off that water and up to God. A beautiful, beautiful image. So here's Paul in this dangerous place, in this dangerous situation as he's laboring to move forward and share the gospel message with whoever he can. Recognizing that he wanted to go into Asia, but God put up all these roadblocks, and he ends up over in Greece. And here now, just with a small group of women down by the water. And he shares with them. He shares with them about this God who reached out to each one of them with so much love that he sent his Son to come and display the fullness of God's love so that we could all know that grace and peace that's offered to all of us. That was the message that Paul preached everywhere, everywhere. And he shared that message with the women. I love that. And I love the image of Lydia. Where's this town that she was from? Does anybody know where this Thyatira is, where it is? Do you know where it is? It's in Asia. The place that he wanted to travel to in the first place. And she's all the way across the sea selling her cloth to the people there in Greece. And purple cloth, what was purple cloth about? It was so expensive. But you know, historically we learn outside the Bible that that town of Thyatira was known as the place that you could buy purple cloth, brass, and bronze. That comes from outside scripture that we know that. So pretty fascinating in this tiny little story that it connects with all the history that was there. And so there she is traveling around the ancient world selling her purple cloth as a woman merchant, which was quite a thing of that day also. So you can imagine, who was it that wore purple? Do you remember who would wear purple in that time? Royalty, right? So I didn't get this, but in study, kind of understand it now. So when people see Hollywood folks wearing certain clothing items or models or whatever on TV or magazines or wherever you see that, there would be a large group of people that say, I want to look like that. I want to buy that thing. So it wasn't just royalty that was wearing purple cloth at the time. It was the people that saw that TV show or picture or whatever 2,000 years ago, I want to look like that. I want to be sporty like that. So they bought bits of this purple cloth from Lydia and wove it into their robes and their garments. So that's who she was all about. So Paul labored to bring this message of hope. He ends up sharing this message of hope that are down by the river to pray. And scripture tells us that the Spirit of God did something miraculous. He opened Lydia's heart to the fullness of God's truth. The scripture tells us that she was a worshiper of God. Well, what does that mean? It probably means that as a Greek woman or Roman woman herself, she was around in her travels enough Jewish or maybe even Christian folk at the time that she began to understand something about this one unique God that was there and wanted to spend time with those folks. But it took this time of God opening her heart because the gift of faith coming from God, he opened her heart and she heard the full message at that time. So in Paul's laboring, she was able to listen and be changed. It's a simple message, right? But do we live it out? Are we laboring ourselves? Are we taking our time to participate in laboring ourselves in reaching out? And are we changing as Lydia did also? For what do we learn that Lydia did after Paul's laboring and her listening? Labor to listen to love. What was her expression to them? all these travelers, probably dirty after traveling all that way, men that she didn't know at all, culturally kind of interesting also, what is it that she did? She prevailed on them with her love and her hospitality to come to my place. Let me take care of you as you go from this place and on to somewhere else. It's a simple message, isn't it? And we all live that out easily, right? Except for I'm not going to ask for hands. But when you think about inviting somebody over to your house, truthfully, what's the first thing you think about? Is my house clean? Are my children's underwear not hanging from the lamps? Does it smell okay? Do I have enough food? Am I being real with you here? Do you agree with what I'm saying? What's our first response in hospitality? And how much of us easily just constantly invite people to come over? Come over, Rick. Have a meal with me. Come on over this afternoon. I mean that. I mean, how many of us are responding with that kind of love so people would see the change in our hearts? That gift of hospitality, of welcoming every single person and saying, come. I know the love of God, and I want to share the love of God, and I even want to share the love of God with you in my messy house, where my dog is going to run into you and knock you over when you come in, but I'll pick you up, and I'll take care of you in every way. Every way. Hospitality. That's what hospitality is. Paul labored in such a beautiful way. Labored in such a beautiful way so that others would know of God's grace. Incredible image of this in this passage of God opening the heart of Lydia as she was able to listen in a way that she was never able to listen before. And her immediate response was that love. The love of hospitality. You know, when you go to Afghanistan, people know the difference by your eye color or your skin tone or what your hair is doing. There are 7 major tribes in that place, and they are brutal. It's the most distinct and ugly prejudice I have ever been around that just lives out in all the communities. Lovely, wonderful people when you're with them one-on-one, but they know because of hair color or eye shape or clothing that they're wearing what tribe they're from, and they reject them immediately. It was horrific to see. But there's also something very different in Afghanistan as they follow this culture of hospitality and welcoming. And I was shocked by it. In fact, Rory Stewart wrote about it in his book, The Places in Between. Even when you're of different tribes and you're traveling, particularly in Central Asia, but Afghanistan specifically, because I've seen this, when you travel through the mountain passes, and you go into a different village of a person from a different tribe, immediately the people come out and welcome you. They welcome you. They bring you into their house. They feed you. They let you stay the night there before you continue your journey. And they say goodbye to you the next morning as you go on. Even in a culture where there's so much division and hate that's dark and ugly and not good, they extend themselves much further than you would think they would. Labor, listen, love. What makes a difference in the world? Labor, listen, love. How are we living that out in our lives? Labor, listen, love. Are we extending the way that God would have us extend to each and every one? And are we remembering that extension ourselves? Each one of us, sinners here in this room, invited to come to this table and called friend by Jesus. How awesome that is. How awesome that is to know that God is powerful and mighty and transcendent beyond, but has come to be present with us.
present in Jesus. And Jesus invites us to come to this table and calls us friend. What a beautiful gift that is. So come to this table. Come to this table and know the real presence of Jesus, who is calling you to come and celebrate the fullness of this meal. The forgiveness of our sins and the empowerment of each one of us to live in love and to live out love each and every day.